Today is the 12th day of Christmas, a season, though a short season, of the church year. We continue today to celebrate Christmas. We continue to celebrate that God desired to be with us in such an intimate and eternal way, that God was born as one of us, Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Christmas is more than a day. It is this season. It is more than a season. It is our life with God, God's life with us every day. And yet, every day, things happen in our lives and in our world that do not speak to us of God with us. Things that we see when people suffer, when there's tragedy, when there's violence, when there's war. Violence disrupted lives during a Hanukkah celebration recently and a Christmas service. A drone strike killed the Iranian military commander, leader, and others. What does celebrating Christmas look like in this reality? These things that happen. It can be a hard question. If you're looking for a community where we can consider hard questions together, theologically, and reflect, this is the right place to be. I find great comfort in our faith, not because it makes everything better or tells me not to be concerned about concerning things, but because it does promise another way. Another path, a different road. In our opening prayer today, our collect, we prayed that we may share in the divine life opened to us through the life of Christ, the birth of Jesus, the coming of God into our world in vulnerability and great love. Great love and vulnerability together. The sword of love, the sword of strength that does not answer violence with violence. How do we share in this divine life when life around us seems far from divine, when we are part of world events that are violent over which we have no control? This is one of those hard questions, and many think religion is irrelevant or inconsequential in the stark reality of such questions. When the promises of faith are not fulfilled in visible ways in our time, where is the Prince of Peace? What are we to make of these promises? Knowing God, trusting God, seeking God has never made the world exactly how we would like it to be, peaceful, just, filled with love for all. But it has made a difference, and it has made all the difference. Just as the wise ones who were led by the star to find the baby Jesus, just ask them. They give us a sense of how to approach God and how to deal with our world. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, we are told, asking about the one born king, the one to whom the star was guiding them. Herod learns about the wise ones and has them come to see him. Herod sends them off to do his bidding, even though they were not seeking to be part of Herod's plan. They follow the star, find Mary with baby Jesus. How do they approach? They kneel in reverence and offer their gifts. They're warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and therefore they go home to their own country by another road. Herod is going to do whatever Herod is going to do over here. Right there he is, right there. He's over here doing what he's doing. The wise ones are going to take another road over here, and they're going to do what they do over here. The powerful who choose violence will do what they do over here, and those who choose peace will do what they do here. And hopefully, what's happening over here becomes so big that it changes what's happening here. For those who follow the way of peace, the way of Jesus, we are invited to an awareness of God with us when we're choosing this other road, this other place to be, this other place to put our energy and our love and our action on this road of peace and not violence. John Deere, the Jesuit priest, writer, and peace activist, reflecting on what he calls the long road of peace, he writes, "My heart has set itself on the long road of peace. And what has that road taught me? That Gandhi, Dorothy Day, Dr. King, the Berrigans, and Merton were right. Gospel nonviolence holds the key to personal, social, and global transformation." Deere describes how this quest is possible when it arises from what he calls our mystical awareness of being God's beloved children, and also having a mystical awareness that every person is also God's beloved. And when this is happening for us, there can be no one who we classify as enemy. John Deere's book, from which I'm quoting, A Persistent Peace, One Man's Struggle for a Nonviolent World, is over 400 pages long, and so I've given you the smallest taste of it. I went to it because I need some help. I went to that book because at times like this, it's so hard. I need to know that as I stand in this endless cycle of violence and war, that I'm not alone in wanting peace, in being confused about how to get there, but wanting it so much. And maybe you're like me. We can know that we are not alone in the quest for what is right, in the quest for what seems so far out of reach, but we know it's of God, and we feel God in it. May we be inspired by the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate this Christmas season, God with us. On the road. There's an organization of ours, of the Episcopal Church, the Episcopal Peace Fellowship. They have a website on which they have what they call their nonviolence toolkit. And it lists a lot of things and gives some resources. What's interesting about this, and I figured this out recently, that these resources were given to them by people doing this in their place. Things such as how to teach peace to children, how to conduct nonviolence training, how to support a restorative justice approach, and here's a fun one, how to organize a Beatles mass, the musical group The Beatles, how to organize a community peace garden, how to organize a Lenten seasonal prayer practice, how to organize a multi-faith peace project, how to engage vestry in effective nonviolent leadership, how to address damaged relationships, a reconciling circle. There's another one called Windows and Mirrors Actions Toolkit to take action to end the Afghanistan war. There's the Move the Money Toolkit from American Friends Service Committee, and they note that just as peace is more than the absence of war, national security is more than planes and bombs. It includes jobs, schools, housing, and healthcare. So I wonder if we might be able to think of a nonviolent peace practice that we could do here that we might share with others. I bet we can. Choosing peace over violence happens in so many ways. Herod can do whatever Herod's doing over there, and we can take another road. The prophet Jeremiah was not a stranger to having great faith and yet not living in the reality to which his faith pointed. He writes and speaks. He's known during this time of exile, and he helped the refugees, the Jewish people, see beyond the cruelty of Nebuchadnezzar to the ultimate mercy of God. Mark Rowles states in his commentary, the situation was not without hope. Somehow, even in exile, and I'm, little aside, I feel kind of an exile when my government is bombing other places for whatever reason. And again, this is a theological reflection. I'm not trying to do geopolitics, but I feel exiled. So somehow, even in exile, God would be present. Keeping this tension in mind, Jeremiah counsels God's people to build houses, plant gardens, marry, and bear children. They are to seek the welfare of the city, even in Babylon. That's from some verses right before what we read today from chapter 29. Seek the welfare of the city, no matter what, even in Babylon. Those of you who've been to the chapel at Richmond Hill, the urban retreat center in Richmond on Church Hill, will have seen this verse painted on the wall of the chapel. We are to seek the welfare of the city, no matter what's going on. It's a long road, but it's our journey with God. Mark Rowell asked the questions. We ask the questions. Those in exile ask questions. And Jeremiah struggled with these questions. Where do we turn when all hope seems lost? Where is our relief when we're under the thumb of cruelty? Where do we find rest when we fear we cannot go home again? For Jeremiah, the answer is always the same. And for us, God. God is our hope. God is our help. God is our home. And so we stand right there with the wise men from the east. You might want to close your eyes and imagine yourself there in the scene. They've traveled, they've followed the star. There they are, standing, looking, gazing, kneeling, approaching the baby. And there's Mary and Joseph. There you are. What does the baby give you as you offer your gifts? What does the experience of being with the Christ child move within you? You can linger there now, anytime. Give thanks with Mary and Joseph. And when it's time to go, which road will you choose? One road is the way of Herod, the way of violence. The other road turns away from death dealing and is the path of peace. The Prince of Peace shows us the way, the best way, home. Amen. Amen.